I hate that you drink Mountain Dew in the morning. It bothers me so much.
It's not the best thing. I understand that, but it's caffeination, man.
You know what? I'm starting the episode this way. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Second Contact, Lower Decks Commentary Podcast. I am your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, with her horrible dietary choices, is Charlene Schmidt.
That's right. I'm here, and I'm going to drink my Diet Mountain Dew in the morning to caffeinate myself because we record this in the morning.
It's Diet Mountain Dew, too?
Yes, it's caffeine and chemicals. I mean, if you're going to do it, go big. This is what we talk about when we're behind the mic, usually.
That's true. It's true. Okay, everybody. We're talking about episode 3 from season 3, and the episode is called Mining the Mine's Mines, which is truly Lower Decks form in their naming
sure
convention.
Is.
And when I saw the name of this, I was just like, we are in for a treat. But before we get into the episode, we had to delay this a day because Star Trek Day happened yesterday, and there was a lot of hullabaloo around it. And you actually got to participate in it. So please give us the skinny. How was it?
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah. I was one of those very lucky people who managed to get a ticket. And it was awesome. It was a fun day. It was a cool event. And it's not even so much just like the stuff happening on the stage or the stream, if you will. I mean, that stuff, that's fun. You know that trailers are coming, announcements are coming, but really it's who you see there. It's kind of like the convention experience. We're like, oh, hey, there's John Champion. Better give him a hug. And then, you know, seeing folks from Virtual Trek Con that I knew there and that people in costume. Of course, people killed it with the cosplay. It's just a nice celebration of Star Trek today is how I would describe it.
It definitely, like from the pictures and video that I saw, it definitely felt like it was a mini convention.
Yeah, a very fast moving convention. And if I have any complaints, it's that the panels were way too short.
Yeah, how long were they? Were just like what, like 15, 30 minutes?
Yeah, I'm thinking like 15 minutes for most of them. I mean, kept it moving. It was snappy, but like, man, it just seems like there was barely enough time to even get anybody to talk.
Now, what would you say your favorite bit of Star Trek Day was? Like, what's your favorite portion, like from the presentation? Was it a trailer? Was it, you know, seeing someone? Was it a reveal? You know, like, what was it?
It was probably noticing for the first time that Tawny Newsome is a lot taller in person.
Really? Okay.
She is. Yeah. Yeah, she's pretty tall. I had no idea, but she is. So that to me was the biggest surprise. As far as announcements and like actual Trek programming goes, probably the announcement of Prodigy coming back in October. Finally, we have a date.
Yes, that was crazy. Actually, when it was revealed, I think like the first time I saw it, somebody made a typo and said it was coming October 27th to 2023. And I was like, why? That's insane. No.
We'll never get it.
But then thankfully, it's next month, which is very, very, very cool. So let's go ahead and do this commentary episode now that we've preambled and talked about Star Trek Day. So here is the episode description on Memory Alpha. On a remote science outpost, stone orbs are bringing fantasies to life. Tendi starts her first day as a senior science officer trainee. So if this is your first time listening, what we do is we watch along with you and comment. And if you don't have the opportunity to watch along and you're listening in your car, we still make it entertaining regardless of your visual entertainment. So I said entertainment a lot there. but what we do is we wait until the Star Trek logo, the swirly Cerritos going around the Delta Shield is finished. As soon as that's done, that's when we hit play. So pause it, cue it up, and then we'll go 3, 2, 1, play. So, Char, are you ready?
I am ready. Are you ready?
Here we go. 3, 2, 1, play.
Play.
I always dig how I feel like usually Lower Decks starts out very calm. You know, like the music's just like, la, 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 la. But then you know, the crap's going to hit the fan.
Right. Like the music has already turned. We're like, what, 20 seconds in? But it started off so relaxing. Has that kind of TNG music vibe. Now, seventh grade geology teacher is very specific. Obviously, this guy has thought about it.
Yeah, this is clearly has been in his head for a while.
Yes, many years of, you know, he's lived a few. So, yeah.
It is very clear that it is that it's a fantasy, because he's just like, what are you doing in a toga?
Right? Like, dude, read the room. I do appreciate that the rock people can still smile. You think that wouldn't be very easy to do, but nevertheless.
So I thought this was, I really love this stuff. Like, I love episodes and movies that kind of deal with feeding off of your fears or your wishes, your dreams, your fantasies. I don't know why I dig it, but like, I dig it when Harry Potter has done it, you know, like when Star Trek has done it numerous times.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always fascinated by that, because I think one of the reasons why I'm fascinated by it is because I'm not sure what my greatest fear or even what my greatest fantasy is. So I would love something supernatural to tell me. So I'd be like, so oh, that's what it is. Okay, cool. Okay.
Would you really want to face that?
I would love to, maybe if they could just like text it to me, you know, like saying like, here's what it is. And I'd be like, oh yeah, I am super scared of that. Yes.
Oh
yes.
God. Yeah, please. No aliens tapping into my subconscious, please.
If it's fantasy, sure. Yeah. You present that to me.
Okay.
So we get to see a new age. I think that's a newer Excelsior class ship. And
it
that's
looks
the hood.
Like it.
Now, wasn't the hood destroyed in Wolf 359, so this must be like the Hood A. I could something. Be wrong in that. Let me know, guys, if I'm wrong on that. Like, you know, tweet us, email us,
yes,
find us at Join Nerd Party on Twitter.
But yeah, that looks like an Excelsior class to me. Still going strong, that Excelsior class.
See, I'm wondering if it's an updated version or if it's like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm honestly not sure if that ship was destroyed. My memory's not working that far back right now, so... Yeah, everybody can tell us on Twitter.
So this is always like, this is in true form, you know, like Ransom is complaining about scientists always getting killed or devoured by a plant. And that's like, this is one of the reasons why Lower Decks is so amazing, is because we all know that as Star Trek fans, that it is such a trope. That they're like, hey, like, we're going to go see if how the scientists are doing on Retepsis 3. And then they show up and the facility is completely abandoned. And they're like, oh, my God, what happened?
Right. You know, oh, boom, no, not cute. Again. I also love his rant about how they could just do the thing and go through the academy like the rest of us. But no, they get their degree and then we've got to bail them out.
So they have a sacred bond. I love the chest tap, like the intimate chest tap. Like, I know we have a sacred bond.
Yeah, as if to actually make that happen.
Yeah, I think that's an HR call right there.
It could be. If it makes you uncomfortable, it's worth a complaint. Yeah, that's the rule.
So, you know, from previous episodes and from the previous season, we knew that Tendi was going to pursue a senior science officer position.
Yeah, and now this is happening.
And you're one of your favorite voice actors here with Dr. Miglimo.
Yeah, Mr. Paul F. Tompkins, who co-hosted with Tawny Newsome for Star Trek Day, was very dapper in his dress. And here he is
eating I love the continuation of the counselor aesthetic of not wearing a uniform. Like, just like we all learned from Troy on the Enterprise. Right?
Do you suppose there's going to be that moment where he does put on the uniform?
Deanna was much more serious about her career and her standing in Starfleet, so I'm not quite sure about
this. Is true
about this one.
He might not.
So I love the futuristic shovels. I kept trying to think, like, okay, well, like, it has lights, so it must need power. You know, but it's just a shovel. So I'm wondering if like there's like an anti-grav unit on it or something. And
it's a space shovel. It's got,
you know,
capabilities.
Like, it helps you lift it. You know, like, it, you can get like 10 times the amount of dirt. You know,
can dig, 5 feet faster with this thing.
So this was always really interesting, like always really interesting. I just watched it like 10 minutes ago. So the the fact that they have a reputation
is
very interesting. What did you think of that when you first watched this?
Oh, I loved it. Because of course your mind immediately thinks, oh, it's negative stuff. And of course they're going to subvert that later on. I loved that twist, that whole thing. And what did you think of Mariner's reaction to this, though, where she feels like they've got something to prove, to show them up?
Well, I think it's classic for a character because she is totally a person who says that she doesn't care what people think of her, but of course absolutely does. That's why she acts out so hard, and you know that's why she's constantly trying to prove herself while simultaneously saying she doesn't need to prove herself to anybody. We all know that person. We've all seen that person.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And that is full blast Mariner here.
So we got an Ambassador Spock reference.
We did some Vulcan stuff, more Vulcan stuff, which he's not really reading from what I can see.
I wouldn't say
there's too many sciences.
With the worms that he's eating, like, I wonder if, you know, it's similar to Gok.
I don't know. They're not moving around.
They were earlier.
Oh, were they? Okay, so aren't they dead now?
I think the animators just got tired.
Yeah, they forgot. Like, no, we have other things to do.
So I do like, I think even though like he's totally misguided, this character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do like that. I think he had a very salient point here about how, like, captains have egos and you have to cut through that. You know, we've heard that a couple of times in the franchise, like, especially from Scotty, you know, like in Relics, where Scotty is talking about how, like, you know, captains are like children. They want what they want. They want it now. And I never thought we'd get a Lea Brahms, you know, reference in this show.
Look, I figured at some point it was certainly a possibility just because that is such a thing, especially on the internet. And here she is, Lea Brahms, every engineer's fantasy, apparently.
Yes, because Geordi had a weird relationship with her, it's now every engineer's fantasy.
Speaking of Trek tropes.
Yeah, but I do like that he did try to substantiate it a little bit. Like he said, like, no, she advanced warp theory. You know, like it was a universality to it.
Yeah, he admires her for her expertise, not because he thinks she's pretty.
Not that adorable little mole she has. I need to look it up and see if it's this, if the voice actress is actually the original Lea Brahms.
I believe it is. Because
I couldn't tell.
We got to double check that, though.
Yeah. Why was Lea Brahms trying to block it?
No. I love how it's so goofy.
Like there's this inherent horniness in all of these characters. Most of these characters, I should say, except for Boimler.
Yeah. All their fantasies have something kind of relationship or sexually charged element to them, except for his.
And he's, I do love that Mariner calls him out on it. Like, even in your fantasy, you're in the sidecar.
Yeah. You know, I look.
And oh, wait, I get and here's it. The biggest reveal of the episode, though.
It sure is. Hello, Jennifer. I loved this so much. I'm so glad that they remembered and they're giving us this update. Like, there's still an item, there's still a thing. Maybe not really sure where the relationship is going, but it's still going.
And of course, she's in a bikini.
Of course she is.
And she's just talking about being a hot Andorian girlfriend. Yeah,
right.
And they give her the whole anime, you know.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Making her blush. I love that. So that might be the one and only time we'll ever see it.
And then, of course, in true fantasy form, Lea Brahms and Jennifer start hugging and saying, do you want us to make out?
Yeah.
Jeez. It's hilarious. It's like a beer commercial, but in Star Trek.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, I gotta say, Tendi's story is probably my favorite part of this whole episode, though. Seeing her trying to navigate this, where like it seems like she's getting bad advice from her advisor, But like you said, in sort of a roundabout way, he's actually giving her some good advice. But the real mentor in her mind is, of course, Dr. Ta'ana, who recommended her. The way this episode plays all of that, mwah, chef's kiss.
Yeah, I do like that the counselor, like, he's clearly inept, but he did tell her, he did push her on the right path. But Dr. Ta'ana is the one that kept her on the right path.
She kept her grounded. Yeah.
Right.
Which I think is what Tendi really needs, is that assurance to kind of keep going a little bit of hand-holding, just enough for her to feel confident in what she's doing.
No, I think you're right. I think that's a very, I think that's very paramount to her character. Like, she's very smart. She's very driven, but at the same time, you can be insecure and driven at the same time.
Absolutely. And that I think is Tendi.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So really, Dr. Ta'ana is a great, like, mentoring figure for her. I feel like the counselor's a little too hands-off for her needs. How many times do they say babe in this episode? Because that's a thing now, babe.
Well, even Boimler said, like, are you and Jennifer babing now?
They are. They're totally babing.
They're totally babing. I am glad that we got back to that relationship, that it wasn't just like an offhanded remark at the end of season two.
Yeah, no. Honestly, I hope we'll see a little bit more about it as it progresses. Maybe later in the season. That'd be good.
Carlsbad. Is that a town?
Yeah, it's a city in California.
I figured as much, but I just didn't know. I don't think I'd ever heard of it before.
Oh, no, it is. It is. This dude.
A senior officer just tried to dunk him. Like,
the moment he tries to do something, he screws it all up. Of course he does.
I like that his fantasy is a ham sandwich. I can relate to that.
I can't, but all right.
So I think this big giant dragon bird thing is a callback to the animated series.
Is it? Okay, I wondered, but I haven't had time since yesterday to look that up.
Like, this is another thing that I'm hoping the internet will let us know, because I think so. And of course, a brilliant Borgified snake. But
clown Klingons
with Bat'leth arms.
Oh my god. That, in terms of visual stuff in this episode, that's probably my favorite thing right there, is the clown Klingons. Because clowns.
Oh my god. This is a hard one where good aim is hot. This is pretty great. Like, the dialogue here where she says, like, I want to be exclusive. I want to grow old and grow orchids with you. Like, that's clearly Mariner's hold up. And I love that Boimler calls her out on it and says, you should probably go back to therapy.
Yeah, she probably should. Maybe there's some commitment issues. That's what I'm getting out of that.
Maybe, just maybe.
Like if she has a
monster that is screaming, settle down with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That brings up the question. Do you think Mariner and Jennifer are possibly a long-term, long-haul relationship?
I don't think so. I think it'll just be a fling. I think it'll be fun. It'll be fun, but Mariner will screw it up and then she'll learn from it and she'll move on to the next person. That's my guess.
I have a feeling the moment that Mariner is ready to actually, like, really commit and say, yeah, let's move into a quarters together and that sort of thing, is when Jennifer is going to want to break up and leave the ship and break her heart.
So with the other crew, you know, initially saying, oh, the Cerritos had a reputation, they wanted to get their work done, but then they did a turnabout and said, oh, no, we totally, you guys are awesome. You know, you're cool. You're legends amongst the Kelly class ships.
Yeah.
I liked the turn, but it was too immediate and too blatant.
Oh, you think so? I thought it was fine.
Nah, it was too much too soon. I'm not saying they needed to draw it out, but they turned on a dime. There should have been like a little bit more playing back and forth. Cause like the first thought in my mind, because it was so quick, and so such an about face in 180, I was like, oh, are they fantasies? You know, like, are they not real? Like, are they just imagining these people because they want to be legends? They want to be the Enterprise of Cali-class ships?
Okay, I see what your brain was doing there. I did not go there, but now that you mentioned that, if that's where you went, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Basketballs.
So, okay, like, a Borgified snake coughing up basketballs is in itself absurd, but terrifying. So I get it.
Yeah, I would say it is. And I can't even tell you why, but it is. I don't know. Is that the first time we've seen a basketball in Star Trek?
Oh, man.
I'm racking my brain trying to...
Yeah, I think we might have seen them play... Didn't we see them play basketball in Enterprise?
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
I think we might have something along those lines. Yes, we did. Because we saw we saw the Doc shoot a three like it was nothing.
Okay. My bad then.
No. I mean, like, it's like one time, like the literal one other time in 50 years that we saw a basketball on Star Trek.
Okay. Now this scene, Dr. Ta'ana, of course, is a favorite, but we have this poor guy who's going to have his leg amputated so they can regenerate it.
Her bedside manner is something a little lacking.
Sometimes, yeah. Shut up. Don't move. Here's a hypospray. Calm down.
Okay, so I don't know if the animators intended this, but she hyposprayed him in the chin, like in the lip.
I mean, maybe it doesn't matter where you put the hypo.
It's a little weird.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is weird. It's like he's got sock puppet leeching off of his foot.
And then she pulls out a chainsaw instead of using like a laser scalpel. Like,
right. Mm. I mean, they're going for the most dramatic effect here, obviously, but that's kind of what I like about it. Just to terrify this poor guy.
And of course, a Delta branded.
Of course.
Chainsaw, of course.
Right.
I forgot to mention this, but even the crackers with the cheese and crackers in the boardroom that were Delta shields.
Yeah. Everything has to have Starfleet branding. Otherwise, how do you know you're in Starfleet?
And in pure Star Trek form, they find a door in a cave and everybody's like, that doesn't belong here.
Yeah. My favorite thing, though, is the music with the vibes of V'ger.
Oh, I didn't notice that before.
Yeah. Go back to that scene, like the very start of it, and it's definite that
very cool.
That tone. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, how relevant God, what are is they doing? Like, with all the internet privacy that we're going through and tech companies scraping our data.
Oh, my God. Relatable. You know,
this is, yeah. Ripped from the headlines.
Yeah, it really is. This is what is happening to all of us all the time, no matter how careful we are.
I love this. The full Cerritos experience.
And then they're running out with crystals and various things to defeat their monsters, their demons.
I didn't notice that last time, but Rutherford is grabbing the lieutenant commander, his stony corpse. Like, yes. Just running away with it. Well, I guess he's not dead. I'm actually liking this episode more watching it with you than I did the first time.
Oh, really? Hey, cool. I'm enjoying watching it with you as well. As far as the where I rank this episode, though, this might be my third favorite of the season.
Yeah.
So far. Yeah, it's fine.
This season's not as strong so far as previous seasons to me. Like, it's not bad. It's not bad at all.
Yeah, you've been kind of cool on it.
Yeah, I have been. Yeah, and I'm definitely not one of those people who's just like, oh, this sucks because I don't like it. Like, no, it's very much like, well, it could just be me. I don't know.
Well, here's another thing too, is we know that as the season goes on, it's just going to ramp up higher and higher. So maybe as the season goes on, you're really going to enjoy the latter half. Who knows?
And that's how I was with season one, where I was just kind of like, okay, this is cool. Like, I like what they're going, but it's a little too crazy. Like, Mariner's exhausting, but like as the season went on, every single episode got better. And we just got word that they're going to have a sequel to the holographic movie episode this
season. Yes, I'm very excited about that. How about you?
A Crisis Point 2. I cannot wait.
I have a feeling we've got some really cool stuff in store this season. Very excited.
So this makes me wonder how much time is going by in Lower Decks? Like, I need to figure this out. Is one season a year in Lower Decks years? Or is it just, you know, like, how much time is going on? Because, like, in the show Lost, like, each season was a month for the first three seasons. And so it makes me wonder if that's how it's going with Lower Decks.
Really hard to tell.
I need to, because I know that McMahon has the star dates. Like, he knows what star dates it takes place. So I need to check that out, because this would be like, if this show goes on 7 years, does that mean everybody on the show is like less than a Harry Kim for 7 years?
Right. Or if we're just seeing a condensed amount of time in a season, is it if seven seasons going to span maybe only a couple of years?
Right. Like, that's the thing. That's what I'm wondering. And I think that would be a smart move from the animator's perspective.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because if this goes on for a long time, which a lot of animated shows do.
Yeah.
You know, like, you got to do some sort of condensing, like with King of the Hill or with, I don't know. That's just the top of it. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, we were talking during, I think, one of my very favorite parts of the episode, and that is where Tendi breaks the rock and says, "Shut up." I really like it when Tendi takes charge.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, even when she was like a secret agent, like that episode.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just something about her when she finally works up the nerve to take action. It's so good. I'm learning to like Tendi a lot more.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah. Oh, man. Tendi's my favorite. She's my absolute favorite.
I know. She has been for a while. She was possibly my least favorite. Like, I did not like her at the start of the show, but as time has gone on, I've grown to love her, of course.
So this, the bald guy, his, like, one of the Lower Deckers from the other ship, he has webbed hands.
Yeah.
And I love seeing that, because, like, he looked human but has webbed hands. It makes you think, like, maybe he's a hybrid, you know, kind of like B'Elanna.
Could be.
And
yes.
I would love to see more of that in Lower Decks and Star Trek in general, where we get to see, like, because we saw it a little bit in Discovery, like, when we got to the 29th century. But I'd love to see more of it in, like, 24th and 25th century.
Yeah, that would be very cool. Just, it's nice to see, like, a little teeny subtle thing like that, too. Because that's not something you're going to get usually on the first watch. But second and third, the power of return, baby. Return on investment. It just keeps on giving. That's what's so fun about this show.
All right, everybody. That was our episode. That was our commentary for episode 3 of season 3, Mining the Mind's Minds. Please make sure to tune in next week as we talk about episode 4. And find us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party, Facebook, and Instagram at The Nerd Party. And you can find us individually on Twitter. I'm at The Insane Robin.
And I am at Oh the Profanity.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.